problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.
Hey, folks, before we get started with the homemade broadcast this week, I just wanted to tell you quickly about NTT Fitness and NTTFitness.com. That is a full health mecca. I tell you what, located in Pinellas Park, you got group fitness classes, you got a gymnasium, you got people that will hold you accountable for your own fitness goals, and they have an excellent meal prep service. Now, I know you can cook your own food. I get it. You know how to do it. Wouldn't it be nice to have some variety, though, and it's delivered right to your door? You can get your entire Sunday back. You don't have to worry about it. It shows up on Sunday night, and then you just put it in the fridge, and you got food for the week. It is awesome. I've been using it for a few weeks, and I absolutely love it. I want you to try it out. Use code LEVELUP15. That's the homemade broadcast code at checkout, and you'll get 15% off your first order, NTTFitness.com. All right, let's start the show.
Beach, drop, drop, bar, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSaintPete.com. RadioSaintPete.com presents the homemade broadcast.
Would you ever go out with anybody from class?
You see, Ernie, grown-ups like to go out with other grown-ups.
What about Billy?
You're more of a grown-up than Billy.
I'll give you a grown-up.
What was that, Ernie?
Nothing. See you tomorrow in class, Miss Vaughn.
You blew it!
Okay, and... are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the homemade broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. My name is Will Koontz. I think my computer is breaking. It's not good. I got one of those little Chromebook things for my internet that I mostly use. I don't do any computing, but I do a lot of interneting, so I have this little internet box thing. I noticed it was lulling a little bit, so sorry about that on the intro. It kind of scratched a little bit. Sorry. That's a nightmare. Because that's an expense that I don't need right now. It's been, I had the starter on my truck go. My truck's in the shop now, you know, once a month, pretty much. You can depend on something going wrong. And then tax time came, and I had to write a bigger check. I already get my money taken out of my check, you know, to give to Uncle Sam. And then they went, no, you owe more money now, because we have... socialism for the rich and the poor here in this country. They don't pay any taxes, but me, who is just getting by, has got to pay a little more, man. That's the way it goes. That's when I knew that I was an adult, when I think last year was the first year where I actually had to pay more. I would usually get like a few $100, you know, back, and you get all excited. You're like, oh, I'm getting a check, my money back for $300 or whatever, and it's cool because you get to buy something stupid or just sock it away. Luckily, I'm pretty good with my money. I'm an adult now, so I know not to buy stupid crap that I'm not going to not going to need. But, yeah, so all came at once. So not only taxes, new starter on the truck, but I also had to pay the tax guy because my friend screwed me over. She's a CPA and goes, yeah, I'll do them. And then she just didn't do them, you know, because it wasn't on our priority list. I totally get that. But don't offer to do it if you're not going to do it. And I finally asked her, I was like, look, are you going to do this or not? And she just went, well, I dropped the ball on this. Yeah, I would say so. Don't offer your time if you're not going to do it. She goes, well, whatever's easier for you. If you wanted me to send it to you and you can go get them done somewhere or, you know, I can do them. I go, just send them back to me. You're not going to do it. That's the thing. And if I said, well, are you going to do it? And then she probably wouldn't have done it on time. And then I would have been really screwed because I would have got hit with probably penalties or whatever. So I ended up, I usually just do them myself. But, you know, this year I went into panic mode and I got all these forms for health insurance. And I had heard somebody referred me to this other CPA who I kind of was hoping was going to do it for free. You know, I was talking to one of the guys at the Bone on one of the shows. And he was like, man, you got to use these radio connections, man. Like, you know, people will, there's stuff out there that people are willing to do for you. And I was like, okay. So I reached out to the guy he referred me to, and he did give me a discount on my taxes, but he did not, I kind of hope we're going to do it for free. You know what I'm saying? And no, that didn't happen. So I had to pay him hundreds of dollars on top of when I could have just put it in H&R Block and probably had to pay an extra $100, you know, on not getting my write-offs all correct because I don't know the rules. So usually that's what I do, and that's what I'm going to do next year. I'm not going to risk it. I do my taxes early. I get them done like February. And Matt, I want to get it taken care of. I don't like to wait on stuff. I'm always on time. That's just the type of person that I am. I don't want to write a check, of course, but I know I'm going to have to write that check anyway, so I might as well just get it over with. Speaking of, you know, money, handing out money, I had a friend of mine, and I want to know how you feel about this too, 813-693-2124, because maybe I am a petty man, but this kind of irritated me a little bit, and maybe not rightfully so, I don't know. I had a friend who, her friend, the friend's friend, organized a GoFundMe because she's sick. She's in the hospital and going under treatment for cancer. And, you know, I donated a few bucks. You know, what I don't have much, but for something like that, I'll absolutely give. And these GoFundMes range in variety from something valid to I have cancer and I'm sick and please help me. My medical bills are through the roof. And then, you know, stories like I want to go on vacation, so give me money. And then people will give them money for that. It's insane. And I saw one today. An old friend of mine posted a GoFundMe for his cat. His cat's sick and needs some sort of surgery, and you know, he was asking for donations for that. Which, okay, I'm not going to do that. Sorry. If I had money, I probably would. I'd give you, you know, a couple bucks to try to help your cat. But I don't have extra income like that. But and I saw that one of the people that gave money to the cause was the friend who's in the hospital for having cancer. So she pretty much, the way I looked at it, she kind of gave my money back to him for his cat. I know that's the wrong way of looking at it. That's a fallacy. But that's the way I kind of, like, you wanted, I was trying to help you, and you're trying, but she's a nice person, so I get it. She's way nicer than I am. But it was irritating because, I don't, you know, a cat's a cat. I love cats, but people way heavier on my priority list than cats. I don't know. That bugged me. 813-693-2124. Let me know how you feel about that. If you have not, make sure you download the Homemade Broadcast podcast wherever you get your pods. Just put in HMB Radio Tampa Bay. HMB Radio is one word, into your favorite podcast app. Hit subscribe, give it a 5-star rating, and if you enjoy the show, tell a friend about it. Word of mouth is the best form of advertising, so I appreciate you taking the time to do so. And I got stickers and magnets. If you want some, slide in my DMs, cuz. Just get at me at home_made_man at Instagram or Twitter, and I will happily send you some stickies and maggies for your fridge or wherever you want to put them. And I want to say thank you very much to Truvy Salon and Spa, because they sponsor this podcast here. Truvy, T-R-U-V-Y. B as in Victory, Y, Salon and Spa.com, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Petersburg. Get your hair did, get your nails did, look good, feel good. Truvy Salon and Spa.com. So the big story this week, oh my God, our Tampa Bay Lightning. Holy hell, what happened, man? Was this the biggest, I mean, not only upset in like Tampa Bay sports, but this may be an epic collapse, one for the ages, just in pro sports, period. I asked this on Twitter, is this the worst collapse ever? And somebody said, well, the Patriots went undefeated and lost in the Super Bowl. Yeah, I mean, that's true. However, they got to the Super Bowl, and they lost on that freak catch, that David Tyree helmet catch thing. That's what cost them that game. So it was kind of like a stroke of luck or, you know, some sort of God interference or whatever. But it wasn't the first round. I mean, the Lightning won 62 regular season games, tied the record for most games won in a season, won the President's Trophy, which is the best team in hockey, and expectations were sky high. They're going in as the one seed. They're playing the Blue Jackets out of Columbus, which barely squeaked into the playoffs. I did hear a stat, though, that they went, I think, 7 of 8 in their final last couple games. So they were ready. They were prepared. And they came in, and I was worried. Game one, if you remember, started out, and it was the Lightning just on a tear, man. They scored like 3 goals in the first period or something. And you were like, okay, this is good. I feel good. And I even tweeted out that the Lightning will sweep the Blue Jackets. I was that confident. And I was half right, because the Blue Jackets swept the Lightning. I think they're the 8 seed. Is that how many teams go? I think so. And they whooped the Lightning's ass, man. It wasn't even really competitive. And I was worried because I said, uh-oh, I wonder if they figured out how to play the Lightning. They just, like, watched, you know, they were out-coached, and they set up some sort of defense that worked, and it sure did. It worked against the Lightning, and our goalie, Vasilevskiy, was good, but not in the playoffs. He was terrible. I think he was like 82% on saves, and the Lightning just got dominated, and it was truly something to watch. I mean, it almost gets to the point where you just want to see how bad it can get. So when I was watching that game 4, I was thinking, man, it'd be crazy if they got swept. Because you know they're probably not going to come back and win 4 games straight in the playoffs like that. Now, if any team could do it, it was the Lightning. They're one of the best regular season teams ever to play the game. But it was, you know, pretty unlikely that was going to happen. So you're almost like, yeah, just win this one. Let's get it over with. And let's just move on with our lives. What an epic collapse that would be. So you're in the history books for not the reason you want to be. But I think this might be one of the worst collapses ever in the history of sports. And I looked up some other ones, and I think I might be right. Because I saw this USA Today article that was ranking some of the worst defeats in playoff history. And they had the 90-91 Blackhawks. They won the President's Trophy. They had 4 Hall of Famers. And they got beat by the North Stars, but they lost in Game 5. So, you know, at least they won a game. There's a 93-94 Seattle Supersonics. They had Sean Kemp and Gary Payton. That was a good team. They went up 2-0 on the AC to Denver Nuggets that year in a best-out-of-5 series, and then just hemorrhaged and lost. And there's the 2002 New York Yankees. That was the one where Boston came back. I think it was from – was that the one where it was 3 games they were down, and then they ended up coming back and winning the next 4? But that's highly, highly unusual. There was a 2005 Indianapolis Colts with Peyton Manning in his prime. The Colts went 14-2 that year, and winning an NFL record 12 games in which they never trailed, and then they watched the rival New England Patriots bow out of the playoffs in the divisional round. All they had to do was beat the 6th-seeded Pittsburgh Steelers in that matchup. Instead, the Steelers jumped out to a 14-0 lead and won 21-18. And went on to win the Super Bowl that year. There's a 2006 and 2007 Dallas Mavericks. They reached the finals, And they went 67-15 that year to clinch the number one seed in the Western Conference. But then they matched up with the Golden State Warriors, who had a 42-40 record. And they lost, Dallas Mavericks lost that series. 2009-2010 Washington Capitals, which is what everybody's comparing the Lightning to now. The Capitals had a sizable history of playoff heartbreak, but it might have been the worst of the bunch that year. The winners of the President's Trophy and number one seeds in the Eastern Conference, they drew a first-round matchup against the Montreal Canadiens and promptly went up 3-1 in the best-of-seven series before letting it slip away. A pair of one-goal losses in Games 5 and Game 7 made this flop particularly painful for the Washington Capitals. What about the 2011 Green Bay Packers? Seven teams in NFL history have gone 15-1 or better. The 2011 Packers are the only team that failed to win a playoff game after cruising through the regular season, including a 13-game win streak to start the year. Green Bay suffered a 37-20 loss to the New York Giants at Lambeau Field to end its season and its bid to repeat as Super Bowl champs. That one's pretty bad, too, win 15 games and then lose in the first round. But still, one of the best teams in NHL history in the regular season, our Tampa Bay Lightning. Everyone thought they were going to win. I mean, nobody thought they were going to not only win the series against Columbus, but everybody thought they were going to win the cup. I did. I thought for sure they were going to win a championship. They were too good. But no, I mean, they weren't. And I don't know what's going to happen next year. I'm sure we're going to lose some guys. But I've also heard, like, you get those heartbreaks, you know, that happened to the Capitals where they got bounced out. And then they won the cup the next year. And a lot of these teams, like the Packers, you know, came back and won the Super Bowl the next year after that 2011 team. So it's not uncommon for these heartbreak teams to come back and win. And if they do next year, I'm sure all will be forgiven. But right now, everybody is just up in arms about this. They want John Cooper fired, the coach of the Lightning. And he just signed a contract extension. I don't think they should fire him for that, but maybe you do. What do you think of this team? When you remember the 2018-19 Tampa Bay Lightning, what's going to come to your mind? Is it going to be that they had a great regular season and won the President's Trophy? Or is it going to be that they lost and got lost badly to an eighth-seeded team to get bounced out in the first round of playoffs? I mean, be realistic. That's what it's going to be. You're not going to remember all the good stuff. You're only going to remember that painful season. But that's the thing about sports. That's why sports is great, is, you know, you can have your predictions, but any given day, any team can beat any team. You got to remember, you're still the best players in the world at their sport. So, I don't know. Let me know what you think. 813-693-2124. If you know hockey and stuff, maybe you can tell me what the hell happened, because I don't know. Should John Cooper be fired? You know, tweet me or call me, home_made_man, and you can tell me what the hell happened, because I'm still kind of dumbfounded. I'm a very casual hockey fan, so I didn't really watch too much of the regular season, but definitely watched the playoffs, and boy, what a heartbreak. It's even worse. I got some audio from Steven Stamkos and John Cooper, and you could just hear it in their voice. I think they were just mortified by this, too.
The better team executed their game plan. I mean, I don't know what to say. If we had the answers, we would have found a way to win a game. But it just sucks.
By the way, I know he's probably upset. That was Stamkos there about, you know, obviously what happened. But is there a worse interview in all of sports than hockey players? They are the blandest. They don't show any emotion. And it's just guys, most of them, 80% of them, talking in broken English about all they're trying to do is score and find the net, and it's always just broken. You know, we got to score and just got to play defense, and I don't think there's many Cuban. I'm so bad at impressions. I don't know why I bother with the. I really shouldn't. There's no Cuban hockey players, but yeah, it's just them in broken English talking about just trying to score and play defense. Terrible, terrible interviewers. And then we got Coach John Cooper here talking about the loss. Let's see what he has to say.
Ask you when it's actually over, but just how stunned are you to be in where you're at right now? I don't know. Probably more disappointed in more than anything. You know, when you get to the playoffs, you got to remember half the teams in the league are out. So everybody in the playoffs is good. They've earned their way here. So it's not... In today's game with the parity, like it's not unusual that an 8-1 anymore. Everybody's that close. And it was, you know, in the end, it's just we just couldn't find our game. That was it. You know, it'd been with us all year, and for 6 days in April, we couldn't find it. And it's unfortunate because, you know, it puts a blemish on what was one hell of a regular season.
Yeah. So, and I think he's got to take some responsibility here because the coach of Columbus outcoached him. He brought up a scheme that he was unable to defend, and maybe the Lightning didn't have the players to do it. Again, I have no freaking idea. If you know, let me know. 813-693-2124 and visit hmbradio.com.
This is the Homemade Broadcast. This is RadioCP.com.
The Homemade Broadcast is brought to you by Homemade Podcasts. Fathom that. Homemade Podcasts with an S.com. It's your one-stop shop. If you're interested in starting a podcast but don't know where to begin, I can help you because I'm talking to you through that platform currently. Visit HomemadePodcasts.com if you need help with RSS feeds, how to get set up with equipment, any questions you have, I can answer for a small fee. And if you're interested in supporting a local podcast here and advertising with us, you should. If you have a business or something, holler at me, holler at your boy over here, hmbradio.com, or leave a text message or voicemail at 813-693-2124, and I look forward to working with you. So this week on Stay Woke is a radio program heard on 102.5 The Bone here locally in Tampa Bay. It's with myself and Anna Hummel every weeknight at midnight, and we talk about all sorts of things. We had last week off because Anna was suspended, but now she's back. I want to do a podcast about why she got suspended because I'm not really amped about it, and I'm not really amped about how it was handled. However, it's not my business, so I guess I shouldn't say anything, but maybe in a few weeks I can actually talk about it a little bit. But so we didn't have shows last week, but this week she was back, and we talked a little bit about, of course, Notre Dame, the cathedral burnt down, or most of it was burnt. It's going to be reconstructed, I guess. But Anna had a crazy conspiracy theory, and then we had a caller, Gas Man, one of our favorite callers that called in, and he kind of asked a question out of nowhere about Yemen and President Trump vetoing a bill where Congress pushed through a plan to end the support for that war that Saudi Arabia is raging in Yemen. And so we talked about that a little bit. So if you do not, if you sleep, you know, like a normal person and don't listen to the radio at midnight, maybe you should get the 102.5 The Bone app, because you can get that show Stay Woke on demand whenever you want, along with all the other Bone shows. So please do that. And let's hear this clip talking about Notre Dame and Yemen on Stay Woke.
Now, I'm not a huge fan of conspiracy theories, William. I'm not trying to be Alex Jones over here or anything like that. But this whole cathedral, Notre Dame, however you say it, I think that it's an inside job.
What do you know?
I don't know, but I am speculating. First of all, we're a week out from Easter.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's just kind of effing with the plans. I'm sure there's a big mass that happens during Easter. That's what the Catholics do. They go to mass, right? Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
Not that you're a Catholic, but okay. Oh, sure. But it happened a week out from Easter. This is and it's one of those things where all these little tidbits are coming out, and I'm not saying that this is like a Jesse Smollett case, you know, done by priests, but I'm just saying that it's a possibility.
Okay.
First of all, let me say this. I do not know what happened, obviously.
Right.
But I am having a sneaking suspicion that this was an inside job.
Okay, so with any conspiracy theory, You have to have a motive and
sure.
an end game. So what would be the end game for this inside job potentially?
Well, this is what I am thinking. So I don't know if you heard, but there was this, I guess he was a ex-military priest. He's now a priest, French guy. And when the building went up in flames, he went and he grabbed, I guess it was Jesus' little hat. Yes.
Yeah. The real one?
I don't, I think, I'm assuming that's what it is, the real one, or what they think to be the real one.
Really?
I'm not quite sure.
Seems like they could DNA test that thing, right? There's blood on it.
Quite possibly. I don't know what they could do with it, but apparently he entered the Notre Dame Cathedral, and he saved the Crown of Thorns relic.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's part of the Crown of Thorns, what is believed to be the Crown of Thorns, I don't know, but it was held in that cathedral. He went, he got it out there. Now he's the hero priest. I feel like it's top news everywhere that this priest like risked his life to save this relic that is, I guess, I don't know, 2019 plus or minus 200 years old.
Yeah.
And he's being regarded as a hero. And I feel like this is like some good PR that the church really needed to write about now. You know, because all they do is, I'm not trying to say all they do, but all they've been in the news for is, you know, molesting kids here, you know, we hate gays, all this bad press. Now they're saving S and they're the heroes
yeah,
of the whole story.
Stuff. It's their stuff.
I know,
though.
But it's good PR, though. You know what I mean?
I don't know if it's good PR so much as just like a cool thing that happened as a result of a terrible thing that happened. Like you're what's looking at the silver lining, you know, of a terrible storm.
Right. And again, I don't know what happened, but I'm just speculating quite possibly. Could it be the case that you create this huge problem and then you also solve or semi-solve the problem? And then you become the hero, and everybody regards you as the savior. This is really good for the church. It says here, boop, 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 his name is Jean-Marc Fournier, and he saved the Crown of Thorns from the blazing Notre Dame, blah, blah, blah. And in 2015, apparently he also rushed inside this Bataclan, I don't know what that is, where the Islamic State militants killed 89
oh, yeah.
people. So I guess this is the same dude.
That was a concert hall where they... Who was playing? Eagles of Death Metal or something was playing at that show. And
oh,
just,
that was
like,
the end of it. I remember that. I remember that night.
Like,
God, that was a horrible night.
In there.
It was
yeah.
like 150 people died.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was just awful. Mm-hmm. That was horrible. So this French priest, he was wounded in that attack and survived an ambush in Afghanistan and also emerged as the Notre Dame hero today. So I don't know if that is just good PR that just happened to happen, but also, I don't know if you heard about this, William, but apparently the fire alarm went off 23 minutes before the fire actually started.
Okay.
Now, I'm trying to like piece this together in my brain as to why that would be some sort of inside job, or maybe someone, the terrorist that was doing it, or the person who was trying to cause terror or arson or whatever, was kind of like glitching up a little bit at the beginning. Did you hear about this?
I did not hear about that. I mean, that's interesting, but I don't know if it proves it. But going back to the other thing real quick, I think the church itself would be more valuable to the Catholic Church.
I agree.
Than burning it down. It's like one of the most famous structures in all of Europe, if not the world. They had that freaking cartoon, a Disney cartoon was... You know, based on that, it's super famous. I think they would be like to have that intact, and it's a huge, huge tourist destination.
No, I completely agree with you, and I understand what you're saying. But again, could it be? And I'm not saying it's the entire Catholic Church. I'm just saying maybe a few inside,
or maybe a
small select group of people were like, listen, we've been doing real bad. We need to bring more money into the Catholic Church, maybe bring awareness.
So
I know, but even more, someone just donated like $113 million, just kind of highlighting the, what would you call it? The centerfold, the hallmarks of Catholicism, of religion. Things like that. I'm not quite sure. And again, this is finally the Catholic Church is in the news for
something
beyond
good.
Touching little boys.
I was going to say, I was like, what if it's one of those things where he did it because he wanted a reward? And they're like, what do you want? You saved the Crown of Thorns. He's like, I want 72 post-pubescent boys at my doorstep.
Oh, God. Or maybe this was sort of some sort of a decoy where something, some molestation was going on, and he's like, not today, not getting caught today.
Down.
I'm burning this bitch to the ground. You're on Stay Woke. Who is this? Thank you for holding for so long. Hello? You're on air.
Hello today?
I promise.
Greetings.
Hello? Not happening? Okay. How about you? You're on Stay Woke. Who's this?
What's going on, Slim?
What's up, Gas Man?
Gas Man.
Hey, I know how you are particular about your topics and all that, but I really, like on a serious note, have you and Will's perspective on a topic today that kind of irritated me a little bit. It seemed like nobody's really seeing it.
Okay, go ahead.
Let's talk about it. Do you mind?
Yeah, go for it.
But President Trump, you know, used to me being funny, Gas Man, but I'm trying to be serious right now.
Okay.
This dude, he vetoed the bill that was supposed to stop weapons and cash flow to Saudi Arabia, right, Will?
Mm-hmm, correct.
So if you're supposed to be pro-Israel, and he tells all his constituents he's pro-Israel,
mm-hmm.
but yet you continue to fund a country that manipulates our oil stock market, mm-hmm. tries to hurt the U.S. shale oil boom whenever it helps them boost revenue, and they all weren't the people who crashed the 9/11 planes. Weren't they also Saudi nationals too?
Yeah,
Saudis and also Afghan. I thought they were mostly Afghans.
I think most of them were
Saudis. Saudis. Okay, yeah. Actually,
so how can you be pro-Israel and turn around and do that, and then try and blame it, saying that the Democrats were trying to take away power from him, and nobody's talking about it. Nobody sees that as an issue. How can you be pro-Israel and then turn around and do that with the Saudis?
I think beyond him being pro-Israel, he's pro-America. And I know that how much does Saudi Arabia buy of our artillery? Like 400 billion, million?
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure. But I know that we do a lot of business with them. Listen, this is politics. This is how the whole industrial, what do you call it, Will? The military-industrial complex works, man. Like, these people start wars so that they can buy artillery from other companies and other countries, and we want other countries to get in wars so that they can buy products from us. It's disgusting.
The Middle East, too, is so complicated. I tried to look this up. I either don't have a high enough IQ or I just can't sit. I have OCD and can't sit and read this long. I read a little bit about it today. So they're fighting the Houthis in Yemen, who ousted out a leader who was pro-Saudi Arabia,
mm-hmm.
and the former leader went to Saudi Arabia, and then they started initiating these attack campaigns, air campaigns. Now, it's supposedly the Saudi government that is, and it's their planes and their stuff, right? But what I've heard from podcasts I listen to, and I can't say that this is totally true, and I don't know, but I trust these guys because they're much smarter than I am. These are American military Air Force that are holding these princes' hands and doing everything but pushing the button. So this is really our war in Yemen. This isn't really Saudi Arabia's war.
You're saying it's like a proxy war?
It's a proxy war against. So the Houthis are another tribe. See, everybody's fighting each other over there. It's so hard to keep up with it. There's Shia and Sunni, and then there's all these other ones that don't like each other. Because I was looking at the Houthis' enemies. ISIS is one of them.
Of course.
Saudi Arabia is one of them. Everybody's just fighting each other. The Middle East is just a quagmire of just crap. But yeah, it's terrible because Yemen is getting, most of these are civilians that are getting bombed. There's a terrible cholera outbreak there.
Oh, yeah.
It's a humanitarian crisis.
I did hear about that.
That's one of the things that Trump was supposed to do, was start to end these wars. That's what he campaigned on. He's not doing
it. Pull out of the Middle East.
I'm okay with that. I'd love to do that.
And it seems like a whole facade. Everything that he's blowing smoke in the U.S. to get his constituents to focus on, and there's a whole nother issue of things going on around the world. It seems like there's no more world news being broadcast. It's always racial or Democrat against Republican bullcrap every day. And if you ask a Trump supporter, why do they like him, all they got, the economy's doing good. Stock market's doing good. Because they don't really pay attention.
But
to
again,
world
like,
news
why should they care about what's going on in Saudi Arabia? Why should they care about what's going on in Yemen? It doesn't affect them. You know what I mean?
It
like
does.
You can't
look what happened to 9/11. We ignored them people. We taught them to make bombs, and they turn around and crawfish is right in the tail.
Right, but
the
in terms
of Mexico.
Sure, sure. But in terms of things that are affecting their daily lives now, no one's thinking about 20 years from now. They're thinking about, can I pay my rent next month? Am I going to have a job? Can I get health care? Stuff like that. And, you know, you can't care about everything. I mean, that's the whole thing when it comes to, at least when I'm looking for a candidate, there's going to be things I agree with them on and things that I don't, but I got to get my, what, top one, two, three priorities in order, and that's typically who I go for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And we got to remember, too, like, most people are not politically engaged, like maybe you and I are and Anna is. Most people are just living their day-to-day. They have their life, their job, and that's really all they
that's
care about
okay.
is their 401k. And that is
okay.
That is okay. But, yeah, I think a lot of people don't understand the catastrophe that is going on in Yemen. And I actually put that in a prep page today because I wanted to talk about it. So I'm glad you brought it up, Gasman. But it is – it's such a mess. And Trump did campaign on ending these wars. And so far, he's really not done that at all.
All right. There we go. Yeah. So it's nice to talk with Gasman a little bit about something more serious. Usually he's a little more fun. But I was kind of glad we got to bring that up. So I always like something where I can – I feel like I'm constantly defending – this current president, because I think he has a lot that you can be critical of him for, but it's always the same boring, oh, he's a racist, all that stupid crap. So it was nice to actually be critical about something that was real, in my opinion. 813-693-2124 is the voicemail here. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, HMB Radio, all one word, Tampa Bay, on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast. Stay Woke is on at midnight. Locally here in Tampa Bay on 102.5 The Bone, theboneonline.com. And check out all the other Radio St. Pete shows and stuff because they're good. And if you're listening on Radio St. Pete on Sunday evening, that is, we got Frank Rivera's Jazz Show coming up next and the Indie Circuit coming up after that. If you're listening on podcast, I really appreciate that. Go like the Facebook page at HMB Radio and follow me on Twitter and Instagram, home_made_man on Instagram and Twitter. And with that, I will say goodbye to you. So I hope you have a fantastic week. I hope you're good to yourself. I hope you're good to your family. I hope you're good to your friends. And you can be good to some strangers, why don't you? It's a nice thing to do. Go donate some money to a GoFundMe for somebody who's sick. No cats, though, or dogs or any of that stuff. No vacations either, you hear me? My name's Will Koontz. This is HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com, and I will talk to you at a later date next week. Bye.
Have found the homemade broadcast on RadioSt.Pete.com.
Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more. Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.